1.
You can see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn, they got guns and tanks and planes. The wells have gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of two little sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophet wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And we're live, and welcome to the Watching for Jesus program today, Monday, at RevelationRadioNetwork.com. Blog Talk Radio, welcome this afternoon. My name is Thomas Gambo. I am the host of this program tonight. Oh, we're going to cover some things about what's coming up soon. The Ascended Masters, as they call themselves, and Yeshua and Yahweh and all this sort of thing. I want to dispel a lot of that tonight, I hope so. Because it's going to make a major hit. A lot of places coming up. Worldwide, as a matter of fact. It's going to come into place. I'm trying to get set up here with this chat thing. Sometimes I get chat, sometimes I don't. And there's times when, all right, here we go back in. So I realize what I have to do. Y'all stand by just a second here. Now, the one issue that's popping up frequently seems to be always this extraterrestrial nightmare that seems to be coming up, that fallen angels and ascended masters and aliens and all kinds of stuff going on, all the way up to the Vatican. They're laying the groundwork. Even the Pope says that aliens can be baptized. That means they can be forgiven. God won't like that too much because they're not forgiven. They have no Savior. The Pope is wrong. That seems a little harsh to say, but family, we've got to cut through the mustard on this. Because it's going to be part of the great deception that's going to be passed out to the world. People are playing with this like it's some kind of a science fiction game or something, or deception. This is no game. It's talked about in the book of Revelation, the end times events, that man will be deceived. Even the very elect may be deceived. People are not taking this serious for some reason. The scriptures, the prophecies. And I mean on the highest level. I'm not talking about just average Joe Blow in the street. I'm talking about your Hagees and other pastors that's on the highest level are not taking this serious at all. Absolutely not. Using wrong Bibles, using wrong descriptive names. Terms. World War III, they're throwing it around like it was nothing. World War III, Armageddon, Gog and Magog, like they're all the same or something. They're absolutely not. I mean, it just boggles my mind how these people of responsibility can do this and be deceptive. And if you say, well, maybe that's what they believe, well, then they better educate themselves. Because many people trust them and believe in your, in their spiritual leaders. And they're failing them. The Bible tells you, the King James Bible lays it all out. And why they do these things, I just don't know. I can't figure it out. I don't know if they're corrupted in Bible school or in their schools of theology. And I'm talking all the way up to Harvard. I'm not talking small time here. I know all your colleges and universities in the United States, all of them, evidence proves that they're all schools of humanism, Marxism, and socialism. And they always have been. And that's by evidence, quotes, dates, times, people, places. That confirms it. So why is it going to take to get people on the right track? Well, I think I can tell you that. It's called the tribulations. Exactly what it is. That's exactly what it's going to take. See, God knew this all along. That the tribulations, when they come, when they start, when they actually start, it's going to wake people up. It's going to snap them out of this matrix that they're put into. They're not going to give a hoot about Dancing with the Stars or who won the latest golf game. Any of that silly mess. Forget all about it when it really gets serious. Right now, it just seems us conspiracy theorists are the ones getting a little dose of it. But that tribulation period is going to change all that. A fake World War III will do its number. And those times are coming. And as a watchman, when you know this is coming, then you got to sound the alarm. You got to start telling people about this. You see, you are responsible for those that know not to sit quietly. Now, I don't have chat today for another reason, whatever reason it is. I'm not watching chat, so anything you need to ask, whatever, somebody that has my text, that send me a text or something, if someone asks a question or whatever, or there's issues going on in the chat room, because I'm not seeing it, so bear with me on that. So, with that said, I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, as I do. And then I'm going to get on with the program that I wanted to talk about tonight. And I think what I'm going to do is start off with a part that I was going to speak of about a war in heaven and pinpointing the start of World War III and a few other things about Yahweh. That Yahweh needs to take the highway, because Yahweh is not God. Yahweh is Satan spelled backwards in the Tetragrammaton. People are being tricked and fooled. And the I Am is the real God of the Bible, the King James Bible. Yeshua is not the name of Jesus. It might be in Hebrew, but Chinese got their version too of Yasu. English is Jesus. It's not the name, it's the one in the Bible that we're talking about. See, the trick is, they're getting everyone in the sacred name movement, Hebrew roots movement, to say Yeshua, the Hebrew name, with a different God, a different Jesus, and a different doctrine. The one called Sananda Emmanuel, is Yeshua. He'll call himself Yeshua. When Jesus comes down, he is one. He's going to be in Jerusalem. There'll be one language again. The language will be spoken and everybody will know it. I've been doing a study on what the millennium is going to be like. And it's not easy. Not a lot's written about it. So you have to use the Bible as a guideline. Then you have commentaries about the millennium. And then you have to kind of use your discernment and wisdom and kind of pray about it to get what really goes on in the millennium. But it talks about it in the Bible, but you got to find it. It's a research. But actually, it doesn't make much difference either way if you really think about it. What's the big thing? The big thing is to take Jesus as your Savior. About having faith. Then you'll have repentance. And then through Jesus is the only way to heaven. Once you've been born again, then it doesn't matter when the rapture is. It doesn't matter about the 1,000 years. All that doesn't matter. Because that's God's business. You just want to be there. That's the main thing. Dedicate the broadcast and let's start talking. Tonight, Lord, we thank you tonight for being able to come together in this prayer. Lord, to be able to come together on this network. Lord, we ask you to forgive us of our sins. We lay them before you on the cross. And Lord, to keep us straight, keep us convicted of our sins. And Father, to help us toward repentance. Father, we know the strength in our faith. It's a free will choice, but Lord, we sometimes need that help. The trials and tribulations makes us stronger. For this we thank you, Lord. Father, we call upon you to heal our veterans that come back from these psychotropic drugs. Lord, to silence the voices in their head from the technology that's causing this voice to skull, voice to mind. That, Lord, we know it's technology and psychotropic drugs that's causing most of this. Father, we call upon you to spread the blood of Jesus around us to protect us from all that that is evil and all those events that's going to happen, Lord, to drive us away and turns our minds toward the truth. That, Father, you keep us protected from all temptations. Lord, we pray for those that's being sought after, targeted for abductions and kidnappings for these, for this Wesak festival and for all these satanic holidays and so forth, Lord, that you'll protect the young ones and guide us all away from these evil events of any kind of connections. Lord, we pray for the leaders of our country that, Father, they'll get the courage along the way to speak the truth. We pray for the Freemasons, Lord, that they'll renounce that blood oath and come back to you. But, Father, they need urging. They need some guidance because of the blood oath they've taken. To give them the courage to renounce that blood oath. Father, we pray for our loved ones for healing. Because, Lord, I know they're going to use our loved ones. The supernatural realm is going to use our loved ones as eruptions and troubles and cause their maladies to increase. It's going to be eruptions from friends and family and ourselves. That, Lord, use the Holy Spirit to keep us protected and to guide us along the way. And guide us tonight, Lord, as we go through tonight. And give us wisdom, discernment. This I pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I mean, it seems that the news is really picking up with all kinds, all sorts of things going on. Toward this World War III, they're talking about the interchange World War III, Gog and Magog, Armageddon, as if it was different color M&Ms in a pack. I mean, it's just, I don't understand it. These people are in the highest level supposed to be knowledgeable. Gosh, supposed to be knowledgeable about the Bible, about what Armageddon's all about, what the Red Horse, Armageddon, and Gog and Magog. But man, they're missing it all cylinders. And I personally don't understand it. Why they are being so ambiguous about the wars when the Bible specifically talks about it. Doesn't make sense to me. They're supposed to be educated. They're supposed to teach us as non-theologians. But it's not working. Not working along the way. Now, I'm going to attempt right here to get into chat to see what's going on here. Then I'm going to break loose here, and then we're going to jump into what we're talking about today on this Monday night. Okay, we're in. Who knows, I might actually get chat this time. I signed in here a little while ago. I kind of like to, answer questions if I can for folks, but no, signing up this still doesn't do it. So I don't know why that is. Who knows? Any case, this World War III issue. Okay, first of all, let's see. The first issue I want to cover is about this one named Yeshua. Because that has everything to do with what's going on today. Who the ascended masters really are. And that may take a while tonight. Because they are going to enter your life. And everything around it. And right now they've been laying the groundwork for centuries of the New Age. Of the Yahwehs and Yeshuas and all that. You have a fake Jesus running around out there. I know you have many of them and so forth. But the one I refer to is special. His name is Sananda Manuel. And he is a fallen angel. And and it's coming about that we don't know really what Jesus looks like. And that's very true. We don't. Nobody does. And I'll tell you right now, the Apocrypha is a bunch of junk. The Apocrypha was put together by Origen, R-I-G-E-N, a Greek philosopher. And there's nothing in the Apocrypha that says anything about Jesus. Now, the closest anything comes about Jesus is the Bible that talks about he has bronze skin and hair like wool. And his hair is short. That's as close as anybody comes to knowing what Jesus might look like. And the Apocrypha is a heresy anyway. Septuagint is a heresy anyway. They're both false doctrine. The Apocrypha was put in the middle of the King James Bible for a lot of years. The Jesuits got two of their little buckaroos in the 47 translators. And they were watched very carefully. Everybody was watched very carefully. King James had it set up so there would be no messing around. 15 reviews for all the books and scriptures and manuscripts and everything in three different locations. So there's really no way that the Vatican had anything to do with the King James Bible or even messed with it. So anybody that tells you that's full of mud. This is not an opinion. God controlled supernaturally the construction of the King James Bible. Man's not smart enough, man's not clever enough, and neither Satan to interfere with God's plan. Satan didn't have the authority to mess with God's plan. Now, he had his own Bibles, but they are easily discerned by the lack of scripture, the manipulation of words that does not match the King James Bible. So if you study yourself approved, you'll find this to be true. So, Satan took the copies of copies that Origen received in Alexandria, Egypt. Origen being a Greek philosopher, of course. Greek philosopher should be a clue. And he started manipulating the scriptures. You see. And when he finished with that, they became part of the library and the Library of Congress. And some 100 years later or less, well, let's see, 325, so it wasn't long after, like 50 years or 40 years, something like that, Eusebius, 325 A.D., Constantine set up the Council of Nicaea, and he told Eusebius to go get him 50 Bibles. And I can imagine Eusebius saying, yes, boss, and he goes down to get 50 Bibles, and he went to the library. Wouldn't you go to a library? Sure, of course. Alexandria, Egypt. And Eusebius, being another pagan, not a man of God, but more of a new ager, if you will, philosopher of sort, liked what Origen had completed, his copies, that is, of corrupted version of the actual scrolls from Antioch. The actual scrolls that make up the Textus Receptus, which is what King James used sometime later, his 47 translators. So Eusebius takes it back to Constantine. And then they use that as the Bible, the Roman Catholic Bible. That one Bible, corrupted Bible, is the basis for all Bibles today, all 327 or whatever it is, minus the King James Bible. So it's very unique, the King James Bible. Whoa, sorry about that. Sounded like a UFO came in, didn't it? Anyway. And so that's the basis of every Bible you got today, whether it's Jerusalem Bible, Douay Rheims, the Septuagint, whatever it is, comes from its origin. No pun intended. But the King James Bible stands alone completely and totally. It was hidden away in the French Alps throughout the Dark Ages. That's why they were called the Dark Ages. That's the exact reason why God's Word was put away. 10 as he is burning, said, open the eyes of the king. It's a translation, of course, but translation of incomplete, but it's still English translation nonetheless. The king of England's eyes was opened. That king of England was King James, a godly man. Only 20 years after his death did the Freemasons and Jesuits pass the lie that he's a pedophile, a homosexual, and Freemason. And whatever, 20 years after his death, though, it's completely a bunch of bollocks. They have no basis for it whatsoever. Matter of fact, the documented evidence is that he was a Christian from letters he wrote his son, documented evidence. They have none. And if they want to go with that kind of thing, then they got to answer for the Bibles come up by the Roman Catholic Church that's responsible for the murder of 50 to 68 million people between 1200 and 1800 AD. That makes them really credible, don't it? Well, the Jesuits are a bunch of murderous fools there. All of them take a blood oath to kill, maim, and torture. And that's a fact. Matter of fact, you can look it up. The Jesuit oath is absolutely horrific. Not much better is the Knights of Columbus, Knights of Malta oath. All the secret society oaths are horrific and evil. Why people can't see that, I just don't quite understand that either. But that's just the way it is. So anyways, the King James Bible comes strictly from the Antioch, the Alps, hundreds of years, finally came out. Textus Receptus, Erasmus. And they used the Matthew's Bible as a model. But the King James translators in three different locations collected about 5,000 documents plus. So when they say that the King James added to the Bibles, they're exactly correct, because the others were missing scriptures. So there you have it. The true Word of God is, in fact, the King James Bible. And there's not one person out there can refute that. Not one has ever in the history. And the King James Bible, being the true Word of God, obviously can be traced back to God. Eyewitnesses of Jesus, inspiration from the Holy Spirit and God for the prophets, Moses, God to Moses. That means the King James Bible is literally the oldest book in the world, in history of man. The words, anyway, because it goes back to the Creator. And I'm tell you what, there's nobody older than the Creator. No other book can claim that. Not one. Not even one. Show me one, and you will fail. People better start getting serious about the true Word of God. Right now, people can fool humans. People can fool you people, but God already knows what's in your heart. And the truth better start being told. But now they're saying what's said to be the real image of Jesus. Well, what they're trying to get people to see is that certainly we know the picture of Jesus. It looks nothing like the Jesus we've always been accustomed to. Point of the matter is, they don't have a picture of Jesus. Nobody does. The Apocrypha certainly doesn't have it because the Apocrypha is a bunch of trash anyway. That's why they removed it in the 1800s. After they convinced to put the Apocrypha in the middle of the King James as one binder of sort, they conceded to that. And then when they had another, they never had a different edition, different versions. But they've had different editions because of misspellings of words. And they said, what's this doing here? Remove it. It's not inspiration of God. So they took the thing out. There's no missing books in the Bible. Anybody that tells you that, don't know what they're talking about, or they're being deceptive. There's no, absolutely no missing books of the Bible. Enoch, Book of Enoch does not belong there. Book of Enoch is written about the first century. They even tell you that. Book of Enoch was never written by Enoch. So why should it be in the Bible? Books in the Bible or books inspired by God himself, the Holy Spirit, or Jesus. Depends on what period of time that it was being written. And none of the Gnostic books belong there because they're all Gnostic. Not inspired by God. They don't belong there. Apocryphal books, it's junk. They say in 1928, under the Vatican, that they agreed to remove 14 books from the King James Bible. Family, that's a lie from the pit of hell. They had nothing to do with it. That's an absolute total lie. Certainly, the Bible 1611 did include the Apocrypha, but like I said, it was removed. Because it didn't belong there. It was not inspired by God. That's why. And this one named Martin Luther, he was working with the Jesuits behind the scenes. And what you might find very interesting is Martin Luther was protected. Oh, they excommunicated him and all that. That was not a show. What did they do to Erasmus? They put him in jail. How about Tyndall and Wycliffe? They murdered him. But little old Martin Luther was just excommunicated. Because you see, Martin Luther, working with the Vatican behind the scenes, was to set up the dialectic of the Reformation to justify the Jesuits, who were funded by the Borgias, to start their murders. So they needed a reason, an excuse, and that was it. That's why Martin Luther tried to hook and crook the Jews. When the Jews rejected him, he got mad with the Jews. That shows his double-mindedness. And also, slam dunk, I have listed or mentioned in Illuminati's own textbook called The Signs of Christ by Harold Balliaz that Martin Luther was an avatar. Remember, he was channeled. That's where he got the 95 thesis. It's all set up. But what's coming our way is that New Age is going to encompass them, fallen angels, as ascended masters. And they're going to claim to be a peaceful alien regime going after the bad aliens. Ashtaroth. Look up Ashtaroth. It's in the Bible. Well, they're using the term Ashtar Command. It's like Battlestar Galactica, some other nonsense. These are fallen angels, family. Using supernatural whiz-bang smoke and mirrors and hallucinations and so forth to bring about UFOs. And they say the spiritual guidance of Lord Sananda, known to earth as Jesus, or the Christ, our commander-in-chief, is a lie. Family, you got to know this. They're incorporating 144,000 ascended masters. See where they get this from. No, no, it's not. It's 144,000 Hebrew Jews. The 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe of the original 12 tribes. Your mid-tribulation will come out of her. So they take the Bible and they try to incorporate the New Age beliefs into the point of the Book of Urantia, which is another bunch of garbage. Family, it's really surreal, isn't it? How surreal this really is. So real. How surreal this really is what we're talking about is what's going to happen is the reality is going to be pure deception. Why can't it be just straight? Why can't things be like they should be, right? That's not where we are. And they're filthy liars and deceivers. They need to be pointed out. God will destroy these filthy liars and deceivers. Just don't follow them, family. Just don't follow them. Be patient with the Lord. And courage is going to be needed. It's going to be needed bad. Let me tell you what. Because it's come around. I'm going to tell you right now. When? We don't know when. When God allows it, that's when. In the meantime, it's for us to be ready. For us to be ready to witness to others, showing them how to be born again when the time it comes for us to go the next step. Some of us may be martyred. Who knows what the rest? I don't know. But you all get your minds ready for what's to come. Now, for the big light show with the Sananda Manuel, who else are we dealing with here? Who are they? Well, they're not going to say we are fallen angels. That's not going to happen. What they've been masquerading as, to most of humanity, are aliens or ascended masters. Now, your ascended masters are those beings that have become self-realized. Here's where an avatar by the name of Maslow, Hierarchy of Needs. Remember that? The Hierarchy of Needs, that pyramid? Self-actualization. Self-realization. But self-actualization to become more than you want to be. I'm not talking about Army either. What was it? I remember correctly. I was a psychology minor. It was food, water, and clothing is your basic needs. Hierarchy of needs is what it is. And then you have security up the next to the ladder, if I'm not mistaken. Then you have social needs fulfilled. And each one's fulfilled. Then you go to the next one, ego. And then the left is self-actualization. Well, see, that's setting you up. I didn't realize this till some time later when I did this study, how Maslow was setting us up for this, that we all can become ascended masters. See, it's all a setup. It's what psychology is. Philosophy and psychology is bunk. I know I majored in it, but I have to tell you, it's all bunk. Psychology explains away the demonic influence. It's clever. That way you won't have to utilize, spiritual warfare. You just take a bunch of pills. Or you'll realize, my mama didn't love me and this is why I'm this way. Oh, give me a pill. I feel better already. You see what they've done? Isn't that clever? When they've attributed the maladies and mental problems and all this, and reactions and stress and all this is, well, because you're doggy got took away from you and you've suffered all this, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So you're depressed, you're post-traumatic stress, or you're whatever, double-minded, or this, that, and the other. Here, I have a good pill for you. There you go, you see. Now take this pill, this nasal spray. Oh yeah, they got nasal spray for veterans, that anti-suicide nasal spray. They do. You Joint Chief of Staff are pathetic. You disgust me. That's how they handle the suicides, 20 to 26 per day, 22 to 26 per day of our troops. No, they are orchestrating these suicides. Psychotropic drugs, voice-to-skull technology, causing depression, because they're wanting to kill them off. Why? Because getting ready for the North American Union. And the invasion that's already happened, it's not really called an invasion, but it's an occupation of foreign troops led in here since 1993 by our presidents, our Joint Chief of Staff of the Council of Foreign Relations, allowing the invasion to take place 20 years ago. Some of the troops in the other countries have already retired, waiting for the time they're going to be allowed to take over the United States. You know why? Because God's holding them back. All this is connected. But back to the ascended masters and this belief that, see, I can sometimes go down these rabbit trails. It's all connected, though. But in any case, the ascended masters that you're going to see down the road, they're beings that's become self-actualized, self-realized, that you can become like us, too, they say. That's a lie, too. They say that we serve humanity and a being that raise their vibrational level to a sustained frequency of light. They tell the Freemasons this. Every degree they go up, they get closer to Godhood. They adjust their frequency vibration to become closer to God. So they believe the ring they receive at 33rd degree Mason or whatever it is, that that's their ticket to heaven. It's not. It's a fool's game. They're going to kill every Freemason, literally. They will be executed. The ones that know too much, and then the ones that don't know too much, they're going to die. Quote the Illuminati's own words, as if by some illness, unquote. They're going to kill them off. This is serious, what I'm talking about. Once the Great White Brotherhood has total control, they're going to start killing off all the Freemasons. They got them on the rolls from the lodges, and they will die. Psalms 34:21. It's also in the Bible. They say that self-realization is the awareness of our complete and invisible union with God. It also means that the ego self, see, it all comes into play, has come to know itself so clearly. Freud was an avatar. His nephew was Edward Bernays. They keep it in the family, don't they? Don't tell me they don't pass down genetic evil. They sure do. Freud, Gestalt, Plato, they're all avatars. It also means the ego self has come to know itself clearly and lovingly and so wisely that it's no longer run by the shadow. When one's illumined, state or self-realized, there ceases to be any more inner or outer drama. The personal ego has surrendered fully and willingly into a loving embrace of the soul. No, the personal ego has been destroyed and controlled by Satan. That's more like what they're saying here. They're just not telling you that yet. Now, there's four masters of these ascended masters, fallen angels, demons from hell, fallen angels in the second heaven. I'll get around to that shortly. Four masters of this larger group of individuals, of some take the shape of a woman as well. They are the most significant ones. One calls himself, herself, Lady Nada, Aphra, Babaji, and Christ Jesus. The one Christ Jesus is called is Sananda Manuel. Now, these ascended masters have worked with mankind throughout the centuries. Most of the time in the past, these ascended masters have worked in the background. Some of them who assisted mankind, they say, was Sanat Kumara. S-A-N-A-T, K-U-M-A-R-A, one of the Kumara brothers. But seriously, known in the Bible as Ancient of Days, Lord of the World, the family, Sanat Kumara, and the Ascended Master name, is Satan, with a New Age name. He's invoked in the UN meetings, other meetings of human service, he's invoked there. Are channeled. Another one that's very significant was Saint Germain. He's the, what they say, the cosmic father of the people and of America. One that's named Hilarion is the fallen angel for America. Saint Germain is the financial guy. Family, this month, actually till the 14th, from 9th to the 14th, there's a festival called Wesak up at Mount Shasta, California. Mount Shasta, California, Mount Shasta, because of his majesty and his height and all this, is a portal where the fallen angels actually attend. They're actually there. The fallen angels, the sons of God of the Old Testament, are actually there. And they pick out the new initiates for the future. The new avatars to carry through to the year 2025, in this case. There are 66 of these buckaroos. And they're all going to hell. But in the meantime, they're going to provide leadership in the New World Order. El Morian Saint Germain, Maitreya, worked with Helena Blavatsky. Maitreya being also Sananda Manuel is what it looks like. You can find these yourself. One of them calls Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ, Jesus the Christ, is not Jesus Christ of Nazareth, by the way. Because he also says he had lives as Adam, Enoch, Jeshua, Joshua, Elijah, and Joseph of Egypt. That's called reincarnation. It says he works with Archangel Uriel to bring peace, brotherhood, just all sorts of other nonsense. Then they got one, he's calling Jesus. Well, this is the same one, Jesus or Sananda, or alternative names of him. Then they include Mother Mary, El Moria. Oh, man. El Moria was embodied as Abraham, the wise man, Melchior, author, king of the Britons, Thomas Becket, Thomas More. We're talking avatars. Thomas More, Amoria Khan, the most renowned of the Tibetans, Mahatmas. Is that Mahatmali? No, it's not Mahatmali, it's Mahatmas. Amoria came originally from Mercury, is a member of the White Brotherhood. Now you see. He works with the Archangel Michael, but this is the fake Michael. The Chohan of Master of the First Ray. And this goes on and on, all this nonsense, but for them it's real. And they're going to work with, they've been working with our governments. You understand this? Working to transform the aggressive human from domination to the will to do good. That's the hook that they're using. He's called the friend of God, the patriarch Abraham. Then they got 66, they got Paul the Venusian. Now when I say the planets, you see, these are immortals. Balls of light. So, the radiation doesn't hurt them, but flesh cannot live outside the Van Allen belt. So they need bodies to occupy on this earth to have a relationship with humans. But their time is short. You got Dajwa Kul, Tibetan, talked to Alice Bailey, Helena Blavatsky, who knows who else, Kathumi, Baba G, they call him, Melchizedek. See, they take the names of those in the Bible. Sanat Kumara, the Ancient of Days and Youth of Endless Summers, from Venus. Venus! Oh, you mean the morning star Venus. Aha. It's where Lucifer resides. Satan. Sanat Kumara. They live on these planets, and from planet to planet requires portals to open to energy manifestation. He's a great of the avatars. It's amazing how they integrate reality and the evil with making it good. It's called a dialectic. Sanat Kumara, who lives on Venus. And we're not talking aliens. We're talking energy beings, like balls of light, is what they really are. Demons are like specks of light. So they can manifest themselves as humanoid or demons or dragons or whatever they want by manipulating the particles in this universe, by manipulating the particles in the physical world. Excuse me. Then you got Maitreya. Name is derived from the Sanskrit Maitreya, meaning universal love, known as the Buddhists, as the embodiment of loving kindness. And some believe this planetary master was Krishna. He inspired the life of Jesus. Maitreya is a Buddha. Worked diligently behind the scenes to enlighten humanity in the birth of the Age of Light. The planetary Christ, who overlit Jesus during his lifetime, is the head of the Great White Brotherhood. Lord Maitreya was an incarnation of Krishna. He works to enlighten humanity and bring in the new Golden Age. And this one called Lord Maitreya is being, who holds the office of the Christ grid frequency. What a bunch of nonsense. Family, when the first trumpet hits, these supernatural rascals are going to just be crying the blues. Because they're, once again, their creation, their so-called New World Order will be destroyed by the light of his coming. And there's nothing they can do about it. You know what they believe, actually? They believe that they can defeat God with his own game. Satan has these fallen angels and their followers believing by their manipulation of weather, using technology, of creating synthetic demonic entities and so forth, that they can take God's energy, God's creation, and turn it against him with their knowledge. How dumb is that? What I find interesting is here, and in some of the explanations, they've got Sanand Emanuel, they've got Lord Maitreya, they got Jesus Christ mentioned differently. They're all going to come in as the same one to fill in the purpose of the false prophet. The Antichrist will be a man with number 666, a physical body. A physical body, Rh-negative blood, copper-based DNA, hybrid, human and fallen angel, that will, mid-tribulation, be inhabited by Satan himself as an incarnated or possessed physically, perfectly. That's the kind of way that Satan would enter in this world to be made king, because they would not pray, people would not worship a ball of light, but he would have to go inside the body of the Antichrist. That's what's going to happen mid-tribulation. You also got one here, the Iranian religious reformer, founder of Zoroastrianism, Zoroaster. Aphra, Elijah, they say, Saint Teresa of Avila. Oh, what the dickens. I just go on and on. There's 66 of them. It's just all messed up. But the one Saint Germain, he's going to pop up with a financial package. Watch. And forgive everybody's debt. In other words, pay you off. That's all it boils down to distract you before they take you out. Whose side are you going to be on? Better be Jesus. He's the only one that you can depend on. Well, family, this is all what the headlines are showing you. They have to show you what they're going to do before they do it. That's a weakness. But the way they do it ends up being a strength. Well, looky here what I got. I got chat. How'd I do that? As it say, we got chat here. All right. I feel like I'm kind of tied in. I feel like one of the guys, you know, that I have chat if it ever comes in. Oh, there we go. Okay. Yeah, seminary school. Should be called cemetery school. I agree with that. Cloverdale finished Tyndall's work, and all Gnostic books are Kabbalistic. You hear that's Kabbalistic or cannibalistic? Okay, whatever. Now, family, coming around to it, you ever get around to it? I'm getting feisty here all of a sudden. Draw your circle, and then in the middle of the circle, write the capital letters of T-U-I-T. That's to it. So if you got a round circle and wrote the words T-U-I-T in there, then you got a round to it. So if you get around to it, get with it, and let's get it done. How about that? Well, the Yahweh, let's cover that now. Let's get this done. In the Old Testament, God declared his name was YHWH, Exodus 6, 3 and 20, verse 7. Also in Exodus 3, verse 14. So scholars believe that Yahweh is the third person singular of the form of the, well, something like the ancient Hebrew verb Hayah. Now in the King James Bible, English, it's Jehovah, You won't find no Yahweh in the King James Bible. Now, the basic thrust of this verb describes the state of his existence as the third person form of Haya. So your Yahweh means he is, he exists, but not that I am. It's a description of who God is. He's a self-existing one. I am could come close to that, but that's Elohei Elohei. It's a little bit different in Hebrew. So to understand the import, see, you also have a new Hebrew and an old Hebrew. The old Hebrew is God's language. New Hebrew is gibberish. Yiddish and gibberish. There's a difference. Like they're trying to change our words in English because it makes it different when you change the word of the King James and English words back then, what they mean. The English words today, what they mean, is different. That's why you can't change like the New King James Bible and all these other Bibles. You can't update the Bible. That's not so. Westcott and Hort said we need to update the Bible. Nobody caught on, I guess. You don't update the Bible. You go with the description of what it was back then. You don't bring the Bible up to how we are today. That's the last thing you do. We don't determine what the Bible is or what it says. God did that with 47 translators. Man, they got this all backwards. Now, to understand this import, that you have to understand the nature of Hebrew names. Hebrew names are just not simply nominal devices. It's used to identify one person from another, so much as they are in the English language. They're actually sentences in themselves, you see. So it's kind of like how the Indians named their children Rising Sun or Running Bear. These were not quite complete sentences, but they were descriptive, partial sentences. So God's name's Yahweh is a full sentence. It just so happens to be the shortest sentence in the English language, I am, which it comes out to be actually. But has Yahweh has always been God's name? Well, it's possible, it's unlikely. Jehovah's mentioned in the Bible in English. God existed long before the Hebrew language. So it would seem unlikely that God has always had a Hebrew name. He existed before the Hebrew language. How about that? There's no J in Hebrew language. Well, there's no word God in Hebrew language. Before God, before Hebrew language even formed, there was God. So what did he call himself then? You see, they stop, always stop short, don't they? It's got to be remembered that God did not reveal a name to Hebrew people that they were unfamiliar with. So God revealed himself to the Hebrew people using existing Hebrew vocabulary. Haya. Not to express to his chosen people who he is. Sort of. So it was a word sentence that they were familiar with, because those were his chosen people to bring the word of God to mankind, which they failed to do. Passed on to the Gentiles. Later Greek. Now you got the picture. Hebrew to Greek. Greek to English. Who wrote the English language? Who wrote the only true word of God? King James. He didn't write it in Hebrew or Greek. He wrote it in English. And English just happens to be a universal language. The only universal language in the world. Well, you got to read the original text. Really. You do have to read it. Well, do you now? So you're telling me someone from Africa or India or, I don't know, Russia, China has to learn Hebrew and Greek to find God's word? No, you don't. You take the King James Bible in English and you translate it to Hebrew. You translate it to Swahili. You translate it to Chinese or whatever. That's the true word of God, not the Torah. One half of the Torah, yeah. Masoretic texts from God to Moses. That's all the Torah you use. The Torah is incomplete. It don't have the book of Revelation. Don't have the book of John and Matthew and all those. Don't have those. So it makes it incomplete. This Hebrew code, Torah code, Torah code and the Bible code, that's nonsense. You get the Mother Goose Rhymes code, same thing, literally. It's a bunch of computerized mumbo jumbo. Only I know the Bible code, and I'll tell you what, you were born and the Bible tells you, that's the biggest bunch of nonsense. So those so-called experts that talk about the Bible code and Torah code are full of bunk. That's been proven, actually. So God said his name was Yahweh only because he was speaking to Hebrew people. If God would have revealed himself to English-speaking people, he would have said his name's Yahweh, but rather I am, not because the Hebrew Yahweh, YHWH, and the English I am are the same verb. See, the difference is not in the meaning, but in the language which through which the meaning I am is conveyed to the person, to the group. You see, they're sneaky. They're really sneaky. Now, so let me back on track here. His name is Yahweh, but rather I am, because the Hebrew Yahweh and the English I am are the same verb. Now, the name Yahweh does not tag God for identity purposes, for God does not need a name, but rather describes to us who God is. Did you hear what I said? God was not eternally called Yahweh. He was simply himself, the self-existing one. That's all he is. Now, when you do the Tetragrammaton, you're going to find that Yahweh, spelled backwards, is Satan. There lies their trick. They're not telling people this, you see. That is sneaky. Sneaky, sneaky, sneaky. Yahweh, and when you use a Tetragrammaton, is Satan spelled backwards, and that's how they do it. So when those people say God Yahweh and Yeshua and Joshua, I'm done. I get up, pack my books and leave, or I just turn off I'll just change the channel on the computer or whatever, but I know they ain't know what they're talking about. They're saying Satan. I have no part of that. Some of them, unfortunately, know what they're doing, and others just follow the lead, but the wrong direction, wrong path. Yeah, I don't care who it is. Family, you hear those theologians, so-called experts, start saying Yahweh, Yeshua, man, get out of there. Get out of there fast, because they're heading down the wrong path. They got the wrong name. They got the wrong God is what the problem is. He is I am. And the risen Lord. That's what it all boils down to. Now, the name of God, as revealed to the Hebrews, for the sake of revealing something about himself, his nature, is I am. I am the existing one. It is for this reason that it's in vain when people make a big ordeal over the manner in which he should pronounce God's name. If you look up the Sacred Name Movement, you'll see what I'm talking about. Hebrews movement, Sacred Name Movement, is there to get everybody to talk about Sanand Emmanuel. The fake Jesus. As a matter of fact, in the Hebrew Roots movement, Sacred Name movement especially, some of these cult groups go as far as to say that if you don't pronounce God's name correctly, you cannot be saved. I'll tell you one thing. They better not say that to me in my face. They're going to get an earful right quick. I don't care who it is. Because that'd be dead wrong. And while this is not to say that God's name is unimportant, it is to say that his name describes who he is. And discovering who God is takes precedence over the exact pronunciation of the words used to describe him. When God communicated his name to the Hebrews, it was not so they could know what to call him or how to pronounce his name, but what to reveal something about himself to them. That's why he called himself, I am that I am. Elohe, I am that I am is what it's all about. But these fallen angels, it's coming down, they need an exact name. And Yahweh is Satan spelled backwards. Now you sort of get it. I've repeated myself several times this afternoon, this evening, because this is not an easy subject to talk about, by no stretch of the imagination. And it's been so abused all along the way. Our minds are so misled about this, and we trust people at the highest level that we embed it in our subconscious that it's true. It's not true. Oh, it's frustrating, I know. Now, I had a teaching about who I am really is. And what it means, that what he does. It's not really what his name, but it's what he does. It's who he is to us. I am that I am. And if I can locate it while I'm talking, I'll do that. But I got it here somewhere that I can't do these two things at once. About who the great I am really is. And if you look it up on your own, there it is. If you look it up on your own, you'll find out about the Yahweh, the Tetragrammaton, about Yahweh, the YHWH, and spell it backwards. As a matter of fact, you can do that now. Walter Veith, Michael Hargett, V-E-I-T-H, Michael Hargett, Scott Johnson. There's several of these that cover exactly about Yahweh being Satan spelled backwards. That's serious. When Jesus says, I am, because Jesus is God incarnated, human in flesh, all God, all man, he says, I am that I am. Who is he? I am the living bread. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the true vine. I am the Alpha and Omega. When he says, I am, he said, I am your victory. I am your purity. I am your hope, your joy, your love, your power, your patience, your wisdom. He's everything that we are when you allow him to come in. It's not just in a name. So Satan's made something out of the name. He's hijacked it. Ah. So, is to say, this name describes who he is. Discovering who God is takes precedence over the exact pronunciation of the words used to describe him. When God communicated his name to the Hebrews, it was not so they could know him or what to call him or how to pronounce his name properly, but to reveal something about himself to them. Now, you have a lot of this oneness going on. This oneness believers will contend with you that God's name is not Yahweh, but Jesus. Well, Jesus is God incarnated. Problem with this, though, It's rooted in the fact that it sets up a false dichotomy between Yahweh and Jesus. Jehovah and Jesus are two different. Jehovah is God in the Bible. Jesus is the only begotten Son of the living God. So it forces us to decide between the two, doesn't it? There's no choice to be made here. In actuality, they're both the same name, but with one of the names being expanded form of the other, performing a different function, if you will. One's a begotten Son of God, and the other is God. The one's the Holy Spirit. That's another story there. It describes what God does. So it could be said, then, if you sit back and think about it, that God's name is only because is Jesus because his name is Yahweh. While that may sound kind of contradictory at first, it goes like this. In the Hebrews, Jesus' name is spelled Yeshua in Hebrew. The Y-E in Yeshua is the abbreviated form of the Yahweh, Shua. Huh. And that's from the Hebrew word for salvation, Yasha. So, Y-E-S-H-A. So, Jesus' name literally means Yahweh is salvation. The name Jesus then actually contains the name Yahweh in abbreviated form. So, Yahweh simply describes who God is. So when it's combined with a verb, it describes what God does. So, the name Jesu, Jesus, kind of describes the fact that Yahweh has become salvation. So who's Christ? He's Yahweh. But in the Bible, the King James Bible in English, it's Jehovah. Saving their people from sins. If Yahweh is not God's name, then Jesus' name becomes meaningless in Hebrew. To deny that God's name is Yahweh is to ultimately deny the name of Jesus in Hebrew. In English, it's Jehovah. Let's make this straight. So, we pick up on the fact that the God's been referred to as Yeshua. He's never referred to as Yeshua, Jesus, in the Old Testament. He is also referred to Jehovah or Yahweh in Hebrew and Jehovah in English, the J. If God's name has always been Jesus, as some people claim, it would seem strange that he never referred to himself as such, nor has he ever called that until the New Testament. And some people, some theologians, believe it would be the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. Was God called Yahweh in the New Testament? In Hebrew? The expanded form is Jesus. Yahweh's salvation, the name Jesus, is found exclusively in the New Testament. Jesus in Greek, Jesus in English. It's a continuation of the real revealed name of God found throughout the Old Testament. So Jesus is not a new name. So it's good to know also the story about Jehovah. You see how confusing this can be for some if you don't hit the right one? Makes the time go by pretty quickly, doesn't it? But Jehovah is Jireh. Now, so we arrive at Jehovah as Jireh. It's one of the many different names of God also found in the Old Testament. Jehovah Jireh, for Yahweh, Jireh, means the Lord will provide. It's a name that was memorialized by Abraham when God provided the ram to be sacrificed in place of Isaac. So, story starts off with a strange command from God to Abraham. instructed him to offer his son of promise, that's Isaac, as a burnt offering. Why would God do that? Test his faithfulness. Early the next morning, Abraham packs the wood and knife, and he and Isaac travel to Moriah, the place that God has specified. As they neared the site, Isaac questions Abraham concerning the intended offering. He says, "Where's the lamb?" Wouldn't that be a question you would ask? I would. Where's the lamb at? Great faith and the foresight, Abraham responded, "God will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." So the New Testament tells us that Abraham believed at that time would raise Isaac from the dead. Hebrews 11:19. So they got to where this going. Abraham demonstrated his faith and obedience and built an altar. He bound Isaac, placed him on the wood. And before Abraham could finish the offering, man, what faith that took. What faith that took. Can you imagine? That's what we could read about today. Abraham just demonstrates his faith and obedience by building an altar. And so he did it, and the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "And Isaac's life is spared." Then Abraham looked up, and there's a thicket. He saw a ram caught in its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham names the place Jehovah Jireh because of God's gracious provision of a substitute for Isaac. So at that point, God confirms his covenant with Abraham, which is very important because Abraham became the first Jew. And then later, King Solomon would build a temple in that same location. 2 Chronicles 3:1. So, this account of Abraham on Mount Moriah becomes a more dramatic illustration of sort of faith and obedience. The Lord did provide Jehovah, as listed in the Bible. People take these words and split off with them. Then they design some sort of a theology to go along with it. King James Bible provides that theology. That's why everybody gets away from it, because it convicts. Moving right along, talking about pinpointing World War III. Everybody's talking about World War III, aren't they? What is the start of World War III? Because World War III is a stepping stone to Armageddon. Armageddon is when Jesus Christ comes back to this earth to take his seat in Jerusalem at the Mount of Olives. And it won't be in a UFO. So we're kind of back to that part of it. When does this World War III actually begin, according to scriptures? Now, the Illuminati, if you will, or the Freemasons have planned World War III to be between political Zionism and Islam. What they're trying to say today is that World War III is in Ukraine, Russia, China, America, NATO, etc. They're trying to get us to believe that. I mean heavily. You got the Hagees and Mark Splits and all these guys are calling all the warring going on today is World War III, or it's Armageddon, or interchanging one or the other, and really confusing people. When you want to pinpoint World War III, where does it begin? Tons of books are written about World War III. And they say it starts after the rapture, before the beginning of the end time, 7-year period. That'd be a pre-trib. Well, don't know about that. You might have a fake one now. But first, there's got to be a period of prosperity to get to start all off. That's where the Antichrist comes into play. To stop something, something's got to stop. Some kind of event has got to be circumvented. Some evil's got to be stopped to bring in peace. Otherwise, it wouldn't work. So what is that? Could it be a fake rapture? Fake World War III? Fake Armageddon? Something? I don't know. But something's going to bring an Antichrist in, disclosure, Sananda Manuel, fallen angels, and so forth. You have tons of books that's written proposing that World War III starts after the rapture, before the beginning of the end time, 7-year period, propose that World War III begins during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. That'd be the second seal, the red horse. Or it would begin near the end of the 7-year period in a war which ends at Armageddon. We know that Armageddon is not World War III. War Armageddon is between Jesus and Satan and his transhumanized army. Not many humans are going to be left by then. Keep that in mind. Only supernatural beings and Nephilim will be left in the latter part of the seventh trumpet, sixth trumpet. Some say the red horse during that first 3.5 year period, or toward the end of the 3.5 year period, would be the would be World War III, leading up to the first trumpet. And that the rapture would occur about that time. Meaning another 3.5 years of the seven trumpets. That'd be about right. But nobody knows for sure. You see, the scriptures are written in such a way that no human being, nor Satan, nor supernatural, can become a prophet of their own right. You'll know the scriptures as they come about and are fruition in front of you. Now, in the middle of the end time, 7-year period, the Antichrist will sit down in the most holy place of this. Well, at one point, the newly built temple of Jerusalem hadn't been built yet. He'll declare falsely that he's God. He'll have them stop sacrifices, which means they got to start them. That means they've had religious freedom at that point. That'd be the first seal. It's also going to be the beginning of the Great Tribulation period when he stops this abomination of desolation, 3.5 years into the 7 years. And immediately after the abomination of desolation, Egypt's going to lead an alliance of Arab nations somewhere there to attack Israel to achieve their long-time objective of ridding the Middle East of Jews, as the Vatican wants to do. Now, when I read and do research on this particular subject, you get all kinds of different twists and turns of these end times events. One thing we know for sure. There's got to be some chaotic event to cause fear. Then is what's going to follow is the Antichrist will come up and step up to the plate and say, I'll save the day. At that point, you know 7 years later, just Christ is coming back. But in the meantime, you got seven seals and seven trumpets. That you know for sure. Who takes whose side, we can speculate all day long if you want. But we'll never really know until it takes place. Something else we might know for sure is that World War III will not last very long. But it's going to be one of the most deadly conflicts ever. Nuclear, biological, chemical, supernatural, who knows? Nephilim, all sorts of nasty things. On the side of Israel will be the European community, United States and other NATO countries, and Japan and China. May or may not. China's taken over the United States anyway. You know that. Tens of millions are going to be killed with the unprecedented use of nuclear, biological, chemical weapons. Japan and China will enter the war only after the U.S. has been attacked with a surprise all-out nuclear attack from maybe Russia, even though we have allowed Russians inside the United States anyway. That's a little bit of culpability of the American hierarchy allowing this to happen. Oh, yeah, they always have. That sounds crazy, but it's actually true. Unlike the Desert Storm War of 1991, this coalition of forces will not stop their attack until all the nations that which attacked Israel are completely overrun. And forces from China and Japan will go all the way to the very western borders of Russia. Now, we'll see how this plays out. But one thing for sure, the Illuminati is not going to allow any minorities, any Gentiles, any Goyim, that be us, whoever else, into the New World Order. They will wipe out China, Russia. America is gone bye-bye. God won't allow it to happen. Because we've already started turning away from God by changing our laws in the ways that you've seen transpiring lately. And that's the purpose of them getting us to train to change those laws. So God will pull away his protection and allow America to go down. We're certainly not Babylon. Babylon is the system, the Antichrist system. You know, they talk about religion, the whore, the Babylonian whore and so forth. Family, you know what that is? It's religion. All religion, including Christianity. Where did Christianity come from? Roman Catholic Church. What was it before? Ancient mystery schools of religion. That's right. And then in 325 AD, it turned into Christianity. That's not, nothing to do with Christians. Christianity was a religion created by Satan, actually, to explain away God, to explain away Jesus. Religion. Christianity was to come up with different doctrines. Notice that not all of them are the same. Do you not find that odd? That they're all different. So religion itself is the great whore. The church. Religion was created to control men. Because at odds with each other. Money. All kinds of reasons. God's not about religion. He's about redemption and salvation. So religion is Satan's big lie. See, Jesus is clear in his word. He told us in Luke 9:23, for example. He said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. My sheep hear my voice, John 10:27, and I know them, and they follow me. In John 6:63, is a spirit that quicketh, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are a spirit, they are life. Colossians 2 verse 4. And this I say, the sinner man should beguile you with enticing words. Does religion do that? Oh yeah, they do. Prosperity teaching especially. Man, if you give money, give me 10%, you're going to have, you got a one-car garage? Okay, give me 10%, man, I tell you, you're going to have a five-car garage. That's what they say. Do they not? See, religion is the whore. By which also ye saved, if ye keep in memory that which I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. In vain do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. See, religion was developed as a form of a social or political control. Religion is used to control the masses of people, and this through fear and not by truth in God's word. Case in point, St. Bartholomew Massacre. The massacre should be a clue. French Huguenots destroyed, murdered by Roman Catholic monks and so forth. Not good. Really bad. You see, religion is used to control the masses of people. Fear, not by truth in God's word. Your traditions of men are passed down through generalizations by religious leaders, keeping the masses tied up in bondage. You have rituals, holidays, traditional practices. Notice our Christmas and Easter. What about that? Well, there you go. Easter is pagan, Christmas is pagan, covered up with icing. I'm sorry, but it is. People are conditioned through their upbringing to believe that the lies of religion in this world. The powers that be, they strictly adhere to religion to conform society to the lies of the devil through the strongholds, bondage of religion. Let's take your proverbial Baptist. Over here in this church over here, you can't be saved unless you are baptized. So you got to run down and find yourself a preacher and have him throw you in water before I'm baptized. I can take Jesus my Savior, do everything in the world, there you go. But I don't find me a preacher to throw me in the water, I'm not going to be saved. That's not true. And how about when you were some church on the left side over here, on the right side, a church, Baptist church, we'll say, they're both the same, but they're not. And this one, say, unless you speak in tongues, you're not saved. The Holy Spirit hasn't touched you. You say, what? Whatever, you know what I mean? That's your Hagen stuff going on, and your Kundalini, and all that weird stuff happening. That's not, no sir. They're lying to you, man. They're lying to you. They just changed doctrine. Suddenly, preachers aren't allowed to use the King James Bible through the 501c3. Sometimes they're not allowed to preach about adultery and all this. Some of them do. Somebody get something right here. How about that? So you see, religion is controlled by Freemasonry. Oh, I threw that at you, didn't I? They got them so scared to death through those blood oaths that they're slaves to the Freemasons. But they placate them with favorite parking places or getting out of tickets, or we're here to teach you to be men of honor and honesty. Honesty, how do you be honest when you take a blood oath to lie? How's that work? I have not figured that out yet. Reality is, people are forsaking the truth of God's word. Religion separates those seeking God from God. There's no relationship with Jesus Christ and man-made traditions. That's what religion was designed for. Keep us all in fear. Hinduism says one thing. Mormonism says another. Jehovah's Witnesses says another. Church of Christ, Worldwide Church of Christ says one thing. Calvinists say another. Lutherans say another. Moravian. Gosh, man. Isn't that confusing? You got different Bibles say different things. One of the worst ones is the New King James Bible. I talked to someone today about that. You got the Tricetra on the cover of it. That's the 666. That's not the Trinity. That funny looking, flower looking thing, the Tricetra. That's 666. That's what that is. The Aquarian Age. Marilyn Ferguson has the same emblem on her book of New Age. Come out of her, this church. A church, not four walls and a name of some kind of theology. A church, and God's church, is where two or more are gathered together. That's the church he's talking about. We as believers in Jesus Christ are the church. It's what you believe. Every believer is a member of the body of Christ, Jesus being the head of it. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ, the members in particular, Ephesians 5, 23. Even as Christ is the head of the church, he is the Savior of the body. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. For as one body in one, for the body is one, hath many members, and all the members of one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So the word of God is clear, that church is not an organized religion. And Jesus Christ is the head of the body. Now this is like teaching, we're kind of like a Bible study tonight, in a way I guess it is. But this is what it's going to come down to. It's not Fukushima. It's not Agenda 21. It's not Bundy Ranch or any of that stuff. All that's distraction. You know, we could talk about all that stuff. Tyrannical government, blah, 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 blah. We could talk about, UFOs and it's supernatural, you know, whatever. Everybody's excited about, I saw an orb the other night kind of thing. I haven't, no. But, family, all they are fallen angels. If you start seeing orbs and this activity is supernatural, that's not of God, you better check in your family background. You really do. If you find that you have a Freemason in your background, or family members were in witchcraft, or family members involved in seances along the way, or horoscopes, Ouija board, seances, any of that stuff, that would be one of the reasons. You got to deliver your family from that. Christians cannot be possessed, but they can be demonized. There's a difference there. This is what it's all about going on today. It's all going to manifest when our routines are changed. And we see these fallen angels, these demons, come out of their hiding in the public view. And then you got to deal with it. Then you'll know what the story is. Then you're going to go to work. Right now it's practice. For the time being. Everybody else is buying ammunition, buying freeze-dried food, and getting their four-bys set up, and putting their machine guns on the roofs and all this stuff. Teaching mama how to shoot. Oh, there are going to be some break-ins. There are going to be some home invasions. There are going to be martial law and all that sort of thing. But y'all be ready for spiritual warfare. That's where it boils down to. Now, earlier today, now keep in mind, this program is brought to you by Revelation Radio Network. Revelation Radio Network through Blog Talk Radio. I have my own website, watchmenforjesus.com. And on there, I have a 24-hour loop of my own broadcast, Watchmen for Jesus broadcast. 4 to 6 p.m., Monday through Fridays. Of course, Monday nights only, 9 to 11, here at Revelation Radio Network. And then Tuesday to Friday are Bible studies. I do my own network from 7:30 to 9, nighttime. And I cover I try to stay strictly with the Bible. But family, all this is connected together. Every bit of it. And boy, I'll tell you what, it's getting trickier and trickier and trickier every day. People on the highest level have all these books out trying to fool people about UFOs and fallen angels and aliens and ascended masters. I mean, goodness gracious alive. Then the movies are putting it all in there, the superheroes, Spider-Man, you know, all these supernatural things going on, but they call them superheroes. Now, that's part of it. To explain away when you start seeing these supernatural beings come into existence, if that happens. Now, we're closing in on the end of the program. We've got a ways to go. Yet another, I guess, 15 minutes to go, I suspect. And I want to let y'all know that when this thing happens, it's going to happen in one day. You're not going to have time just to do it in phases. It's kind of like this domino thing. You see, you keep setting up the dominoes until that day comes that you hit the first one and just all falls down the same day. That's what they're counting on. In the meantime, they're going to use the news to keep you all busy. Corrupted religions are going to find, we found the description of God. We found the description of Jesus. Here's new doctrine. We found this old castle or whatever. But there's going to come a day, family, real soon, when your TV is going to shut down on whatever station you're watching. We have a special news bulletin. And the Vatican is going to make the announcement about alien contact to the general public. The sleepy public won't be sleepy no more. And you all have heard it, who they really are. And when that really happens, there's going to be some shaking going on. Stock market will crash. There'll be a little bit of confusion. And you know what the Pope says? Oh, May the 12th. The Pope says that baptism is for everyone, even the Martians. A little predictive programming. Oh, Tommy was joking. Mm-mm. No. That's called predictive programming. They've planned this since 1897, this introduction of extraterrestrial. John Dewey, in 1917, H.G. Wells, 1897, set the stage with his book called War of the Worlds, about Martians landing or something another like that. But that was a novel that H.G. Wells wrote in 1897. He was a Freemason, by the way. That was called predictive programming. Then they planned the extraterrestrial hoax from 1900 to 1917. They didn't have the technology yet. But later on in the 30s and 40s, when they saw UFOs, they were the fallen angels themselves taking that form of UFOs. They didn't have the technology. Yep. Because they can do that. It goes a long back. They can manipulate their shapes and forms, family. Doesn't this sound like it's science fiction that I'm talking about? When actually it's true, it's real. Sometimes I hate talking about it because it's like, oh man, this guy on the radio is crazy. But when you do the research, you'll find this, what I'm telling you, is actually true. Now, do you not notice a rise of supernatural type instances that's happening all of a sudden? I mean, we're talking drive up McDonald's, a woman going crazy. You're talking a woman in a subway, starts taking some crazy reaction, and all of a sudden starts beating on people, and then she just making these animal noises and all. Family, this is not made up. They got something called kundalini. Kundalini, and I'm not talking about a design. I'm not talking about something like spaghetti. Kundalini is possession in churches where they do all kinds of shaking and rolling around on the floor and all kinds of crazy things. This is where churches have brought in hosts of demons. Oh, I know that sounds crazy. But if you see them rolling around, making animal sounds, guttling, and slobbering, this is not of God. It's not the Holy Spirit by no stretch of the imagination. It's happening more often now. The drugs have bring out certain demons. Marijuana, LSD, the bath salts, different demons, each one. What's going on today? And it seems to be increasing. You got family members killing family members and then killing themselves. They attribute to maybe psychological abomination, psychological type problems. No. It's beyond that. The psychotropic drugs, antidepressants, opens up portals of the body, allowing possession. So when you get all weakened out and all stretched out, they say, oh, man, take this pill or whatever it is, some name, antidepressant. What that does, it changes your DNA. What it does is it opens up portals allowing possession. And then you're more subject in the psychotropic drugs of having suggestions. Look up voice-to-skull technology. They synthesize demonic activity. ELF, that's what demons are. Electromagnetic lower frequency beings that don't have bodies, that want bodies awful bad. They lost their bodies at the flood. Now you see the big picture of what it's all about. They lost those bodies. They want them back. What do you mean want them back? You ever heard the pharaohs being cloned? They cloned one in 1985. So the hybrids, which are pharaohs with the cone heads, copper-based DNA, Rh negative, linked up to fallen angels and daughters of man, quantified DNA to a superior type being that would be taking the throne, even up till today in the Merovingian bloodline. Y'all ever heard of Queen Elizabeth II, the Merovingian bloodline? Bingo. Called the Illuminati. German, Italian, Roman, stretching back all the way back to the pharaohs, are in charge today through a bloodline. So when they really did good job with the mummies, knowing they're going to regenerate their bodies through cloning, mankind didn't have the technicalities or biology expertise to do it until thousands of years later. They do today, and that's why they're coming back. It's not reincarnation, it's incarnation. Now, you think God's going to let that happen? No, sir. He's going to stomp it out. Now you know the reasons of the judgment. Happened in the flood, it's going to happen again. There's nothing they can do about it. So they're trying to take as many souls with them. Now, that's the big picture. What's going on today? Spiritual warfare is the answer, and people aren't covering that. And when they say Yeshua, in the name of Yeshua, leave, it's not going to be the same Jesus. It won't work with those demons. Yahweh is Satan spelled backwards in Tetragrammaton. They've used that now. The Tetragrammaton, Satan spelled backwards, is Yahweh. They've hijacked it from a long time ago. Jehovah is the name of God in the Bible, the King James Bible, the English version is Jehovah. Family, these things are important nowadays because the wrong name of God is attached to the wrong doctrine. Therein lies the rub. Oh, they're tricky. Very tricky indeed. Now, we're coming toward the end of the program. I'm not sure exactly when it's going to shut off. This Blog Talk thing is a little tricky. But I want to advise you all that I have a website, watchmenforjesus.com. And, excuse me. And I have some studies there. I keep it really simple. But my timeline that I put on there is quite extensive. It's 200 pages of a timeline from 1700s all the way up to present time that I keep things in perspective of events that's taken place. So as a timeline, you can download, do whatever to. Don't you turn no book, though. I didn't. You don't. Also, the suicide conspiracy. I've done a part one, part two study of how the suicides are orchestrated. Yeah, you heard me. I said orchestrated. And HPV, vaccination, what it's really used for. Family, Jesus Christ is the answer. He's coming back. To be born again is very important, family. It's not the Masonic ring on your finger that's your ticket. It's being born again is the ticket. The only way to be born again is through Jesus Christ. The only true word of God you're going to get is the King James Bible. It's very important information. I invite you all to attend my regular broadcast, 4 to 6. I do on the 4 to 6 broadcast try to cover the political, economic situations as they approach and they pop up. The Bible study, I focus strictly pretty much on the Bible study. Tonight's been more Bible study than anything, really, and talking about the UFOs, but how they're all connected. And getting the right name that they're going to use, Sanan Emmanuel, as Yeshua. First, they got to condition you to start calling Jesus Yeshua, no matter what nationality you are. And the God Jehovah is Yahweh. So when you go to the YHVH or WH or whatever, it's Yahweh is spelled backwards, Satan. This is a tricky part of it. And you have a lot of folks today that's on the high level media that's trying to get people to talk about this, to get them used to it in preparation. No one's seen the true face of Jesus. The Apocrypha certainly doesn't have it. And they're going to try to confuse you with the right name of Jesus, with Sanan Emmanuel, and then link it up to Yeshua. See, they're real sneaky how they're sneaking up on you. They tell you what I've told you today or tonight, but they don't include the Sananda and Yeshua as the fake Jesus. He's not blonde-haired, blue-eyed by no stretch of imagination. Bronze skin, hair like wool. But we're not going to see Jesus Christ of Nazareth till after 7 years of absolute total mayhem, called the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and seven bowls. So any Jesus you see between now and then, it's not Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I'd recommend you all on your own study your Bible. Study on fasting and what it takes to be fast to fast. Study spiritual warfare and the weapons you have. You're going to need them. Right now we have a lull in the culture. We have a lull in our history. All the wars are going on and all that, but our lives pretty much follow a ritual. We have certain certain things take place in our lives. A family member gets sick, or our lives change routine a little bit, but you adjust to it, whatever. No, I'm talking major changes are coming. People are going to panic. What are you going to do when that starts happening? You already know what the ball game is. You're going to have people seeking the Lord when that Holy Spirit comes down to start convicting. It's going to be in your individual homes, in your individual places. People come up to you because God will bring them to you. That's when you start teaching them how to convert by accepting Jesus as Savior. They'll cry in front of you. They'll break down. They'll Holy Spirit will take them down to their knees. What are you going to do? You'll be persecuted. What are you going to do? Everybody else is going to watch golf, go to football games, paint the faces up, get drunk, raise Cain, do whatever. But in the days of tribulation, when they begin, now it's going to stop. Right now, people are starting to get serious about it. They're starting to see changes and differences. They're starting to see, well, you know, that Bible does say that this is going to happen. And by golly, that's happening. They're going to come back to you, start asking you questions. Well, you have to let go of your pride because they told you you're crazy before. Now you're going to say, I know you told me I was crazy, but now you want to know, right? Okay, now I'll tell you. That's what the opportunity you get. You don't say, well, I tried to tell you, didn't listen, so now forget it. No, it don't work that way. When they come to you, you got to capitalize on that. You got to work for God then, not yourselves. Let your ego go, man. Well, I think here any moment now, I haven't been notified yet, but I'm usually told about this time it's going to shut down. I invite you all to attend my regular broadcast, 4 to 6, Monday through Fridays, and my website, watchmanforjesus.com, and I'll tell you, it's growing. I have a Facebook. Oh, yeah. Ooh, I got a Facebook, Watchman for Jesus, and you're invited to also go there and like it, if you will. And, oh, by the way, if you come to visit my broadcast from 4 to 6, sign in on TalkStream Live and hit that little green bar. You can listen to it there, but hit that bar first, and then you can hit the picture of yours truly here, Thomas Gamble, and you're going into the website. But hit that green bar first, and we'll see where we are, because it kind of keeps track. And, yeah, I got a notification here. I've got one minute to go. And in Blog Talk Radio, it just kind of shuts off. It's the way it works, sort of. So I appreciate y'all standing by, talking to me tonight, and I hope you learned something. And I'll be back next Monday on Revelation Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio. You can find the link on my website, or the link that I think is given there in the chat room. And it's the Blog Talk, and you can join us next Monday, 9 to 11. I'll have some more features coming up, different features. We'll talk about something different next Monday. Or you can join my regular broadcast, 4 to 6, and Bible study tomorrow night to Friday, 7:30 to 9. So I appreciate you all coming by, and check out everything I've said for your own. Do your own research. I'm sure they have archives. If they don't, I do also. They will have archives later. They have archives both places. Also, send me an email if you have any disagreements or comments or whatever. I'm welcome to hear those. I don't have all the answers. I'm always learning myself. So, in a moment now, it's like Russian roulette. The thing shuts down. You're welcome to drop by. But study the Word of God on your own. Study the Word of God on your own.
What is it that's in your home that causes grown men to cower and children to run for cover?
Fine.
Food storage.
That's right.